कीर्तनानां
वृदन्तस्तो हि अभद्राणि
विदुनोति सुदुःसतां न सर्वेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी तदा रजस्तमो भावा कामालोभादयश्चेत् चेतयेदेर्नाविद्धम् स्थितं सत्त्वे प्रसीदति एवं प्रसन्नमनसो भगवती भक्तियोगतः भगवत्तत्त्वविज्ञानम् मुक्तसङ्गस्य जायते अविद्यते हृदये ग्रन्थे चिन्त्यन्ते सर्वसंशयः क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्टा एवात्मनीश्वरे Today's verse for discussion, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 26. The Canto 4 chapter, Creation of the Fourth Order. And Chapter 31, Narada instructs the Pachetas. Sri Sukha Uvacha,
Sri Sukha Uvacha,
Yaesha Uttana Pado,
Yaesha Uttana Pado,
Manavasya Anuvarnitaha,
Manavasya Anuvarnitaha,
Vamsa Priyavratasya Api,
Vamsa Priyavasya Api,
Nigoda Nupasattama,
Nigoda Nupasattama,
Sri Sukha Uvacha,
Sri Sukha Uvacha,
word-to-word meaning Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Sukadeva Goswami said.
Sri Sukadeva Goswami said.
Yaha.
Yaha.
Which?
Which?
Eshaha.
Eshaha.
This dynasty.
This dynasty.
Uttanapada.
Uttanapada.
Of King Uttanapada.
Of King Uttanapada.
Manavasya.
Manavasya.
The son of Swayambhu.
The son of Swayambhu.
The son of Swayambhu.
Anuvarnitaha,
described
following the footprints of previous acharyas.
Vamsaha,
dynasty,
Priyavratasya,
of King Priyavrata,
Abhi,
also, Nibodha, try to understand, Nirupasattama, O best of kings. Translation Divine Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sukadeva Goswami said, and Sukadeva Goswami continued, O best of kings, this King Parikshit, I have now finished telling about the descendants of the first son of Swayambhu, Uttanapada. I shall now try to relate the activities of the descendants of Priyavrata, the second son of Swayambhu Manu. Please hear them attentively. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj was the son of King Uttanapada. And as for the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj or King Uttanapada concerned, their activities have been described up to the point of the Pachetas. Now, Sri Sukadeva Goswami desires to describe the descendants of Maharaj Priyavrata, the second son of Swayambhu Manu. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Jnana Salapaya Chakshur Pumitam Yena तस्मै श्री श्री गुरवे नमः वन्देहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुता परकमल श्री गुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साप्रजातं सर्गनारत्नाभितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सर्गनारयिता श्री विशाखाभितांश्च मोकं करोति वाचां मन्दं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं मन्दं लङ्घायते शैलं मोकम् आवर्तये सुखीं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे कृष्ण चैतन्य ईश्वरम् I offer my respectful obeisance to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. Sri Chaitanya Parambhoja Madhubhyo Namo Namaha Katanchit Asaya Esham Swatita Dhandabhadave. Let me repeatedly offer my respectful obeisance onto the bee-like devotees who always taste the honey and the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If even a doggish non-devotee somehow takes shelter of such devotees, he enjoys the aroma of the lotus flower. Hey Krishna, Krishna, Sindhu, Dina, Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kantara, Rakanta, Namostate, Tanta, Kanchana, Gaurangi, Rake, Kuntavaneshwari, ृषमानसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छकल्पादरोभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपुस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी इति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवासादि गौरवोत्तरिन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण श्री सुख उवाच य एषा उत्तानपादो मानवस्यानुवर्णितः वंशा प्रियवरस्यापि निम्भोदानुपसत्तमा ट्रान्स्लेशन् सुखदेव गोस्वामी कण्टिन्यू ओ बेस्ट् आफ् किङ्ग्स् ऐ हेव् नौ फिनिश्ड् टेलिङ्ग् अबौट् द डिसेण्डेण्ट्स् आफ् द फस्ट् सन् आफ् स्वयं भूमनु उत्तानपाद I shall now try to relate the activities of the descendants of Priyavrata, the second son of Swayambhu Manu. Please hear them attentively. So whenever we hear Bhagavatam or when we hear Krishna Katha, we should have a goal in our life. We should have goal in our consciousness. Otherwise, we may tend to hear Krishna Katha and it remains the Katha. It enters into one hole and then leaves from the other hole. And this is what I have experienced as a child. I have heard so many pastimes of Lord Krishna as a child. In fact, the only movie I had seen as a child was movies of only Krishna, because that was the golden era of Telugu film industry when most of the movies were related to Mahabharata and Bhagavatam and Ramayana. Telugu literature is fortunately blessed with a great devotee called Potana, who translated entire Srimad Bhagavatam into Telugu literature. So he transliterated. It's not just translation, but it's transliterated word to word Sanskrit into Telugu. And then the commentary was written. He was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And most of the movies in Telugu were based on that particular his literature. And equally, we have read about Potana and some of the pastimes written by him in Srimad Bhagavatam, as part of our study in the school literature. But then, neither the teacher, nor the class we were in, nor myself had any idea why we were taught or why it was covered as part of the literature. So we heard those pastimes. It remained with us, but then the focus was not there because the goal was not described. The goal was not defined. And what is the goal in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or the Leela of the Lord? And along the Leela of the Lord, the pastimes of the devotees, because the pastimes of the Lord cannot be separated from the pastimes of his devotees. In fact, we find that the more we glorify the pastimes of the Lord, we end up in glorifying much more his devotees. That's what we find as a thread in Srimad Bhagavatam or Ramayana. If you hear about Ramayana, much of the pastime is spoken about Lord Hanuman, less about Lord Rama. Why? Because he's the greatest devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So there's a principle there that when we try to define more the Lord, then we find that you're ending up in describing the glories of the devotees. And Lord said that he follows his instructions follow the instructions of his devotees, or his blessings follow the instructions of his devotees. So we find Narada Muhammad describing so many pastimes, instructions to his disciples, and then Krishna blesses them. So what is the goal in trying to hear Krishna verse, which has been nicely described by Srila Rupa Goswami in Mantra of Devotion. And there he says, Smartavya satatam Vishnu Vismartavya Najata Chet Sarve Vidhinishetasyo Etayo Eva Kinkaraha. So Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should be always remembered and never forget at any time. Any rules or prohibitions are simply the servants of these two principles. So whenever we hear Krishna Katha, we should keep this in mind, the focus that I should never forget Krishna and I always remember Krishna. And how is it possible for us to remember always Krishna and never forget Krishna? If we hear just the philosophy, it stays for some time, but just based on philosophy, it's difficult for us to remember Krishna always. And therefore, we take to the pastimes of the Krishna. And so in order to remember Krishna, or in order to develop that ruchi, so Rupa Goswami once again in Nectar of Devotion says that Anya Vilashita Sunyam Jnana Karma Dhyana Avrutam Ankulena Krishna Sirana Bhakti Ruttama. So when we are performing our devotional service, it should be devoid of any other abhilasha. And then only it becomes a pure devotional service. And it should be devoid of jnana and karma, the speculative knowledge and the fruitive activities. And it should be favorable, Krishna Anusirana. So we find that this can be done by with our Nava Vidhi Bhakti, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. But if you look at the way the Vedic life has been, or the cultural life has been in India, this must be true with the North India as well, because I come from South India, I can relate to that easily. There are many devotees who have composed thousands and thousands of songs. in glorification of the Supreme Lord. You take Tyagaraja, he is a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. He has composed so many songs glorifying the Supreme Lord. Or you take Annamacharya. Annamacharya once again is a great devotee of Lord Balaji, who has composed, it is said that about 50,000 songs he has composed glorifying Lord Balaji. Although today, out of the 50,000, it is said that about 8 to 9,000 songs are only available. And to see that those songs are not lost, we are told that all the songs have been inscribed on golden plates available in Tirupati now. Or you take Purandaradasa, he is once again, he is from Karnataka, who has composed so many songs in glorifying Lord Hari. And it is a South Indian culture, so must be the Hindustani culture in the North India, that every girl, especially in every family, they are sent to learn these songs. They practice. So it is called the Carnatic music. So by doing the Carnatic music, knowingly or unknowingly, they are glorifying the Supreme Lord. So they are coming in touch with the spiritual energy of the Lord. But yet they do not know the goal. They do not know why they are glorifying, or whatever kirtans or kirtis they are learning, the music the teacher is teaching. Neither does the teacher tell them the importance of learning these songs glorifying the Lord. They just learn for the sake of learning the classical music. And there it stops, but not with the purpose of developing pure devotional service. So they get some benefit, but they do not get the ultimate benefit of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. So that goal is not given as an underlying principle while teaching these kirtans. And when we perform the Navavidhi Bhakti, we find that aligning with the Anya Vinashita Sunya, it's not just chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra alone, but it should be combined with the process of Sharanagati. And only when you combine this with the process of Sharanagati, then it becomes Anya Vilashita Sunya. The six aspects of surrender should be combined with the Navavidhi Bhakti, then it becomes highly potent, and we try to achieve the goal of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. And once that happens, then the human life, form of life, is successful. Because you are remembering all through your life Krishna, and then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Andhakala cha, when you remember the Lord at the time of your departure, then you will not return back to this material world again. So you enter the spiritual domain. So here we find Sukadeva Goswami says that Dhruva Maharaj was the son of King Uttanappa, and as for the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj or King Uttanappa are concerned, their activities have been described up to the point of the Chetas. So the glories of the Lord and his descendants are being described here. And we find that it is the descendants of Swayambhu Manu. Now, why Swayambhu Manu and his descendants are described in Srimad Bhagavatam? Because they are devotees, and they are being described not just one canto but over many cantos. And to that we find Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that that I instructed this imperishable science of yoga 4.1 and 4.2, evam parampara praptam, this has been given to the kings. So their knowledge is given to the kings so that they live according to that knowledge on that platform, and equally facilitate the citizens to live accordingly. So that, since the king is living according to that standard of instruction of the Lord, and the citizens also follow that instruction, and hence both can remember always Krishna and never forget Krishna. So the whole life is molded accordingly. And hence we have that simple statement in English, simple living and high thinking. So that was the motto of the kings, and that was the motto of the citizens as well. They were trained in that culture. I can recall back my own childhood. I was born in a village called Manthini, which is about 150 kilometers from Hyderabad. Today it is called Karimnagar district, but Manthini is a small village, and we call it as Padivela Brahman Agraha. It is a small village with 10,000 Brahmins. It's on the river Godavari, the bank of river Godavari. And the typical lifestyle was that in those days, neither there was power connection, there was no electricity, nor any water connection. So therefore, every day morning, at about 3:34, the village wakes up. And majority of them, they have those typical kerosene lantern. I don't know if anyone has seen those kerosene lamps. As a child, even when we were in Hyderabad, we used to have, those days the candles were not very well used. It was only the kerosene lamp. So whenever the power goes off, we have the kerosene lamps at home switched on. So that was the source of light or illumination early in the morning. And the river Godavari is about 3.5 kilometers from where we stay. So every day morning you go to river Godavari, take bath in the river, cold water, take bath there. And then it's not just taking the bath. We used to have those two brass vessels, we call in Telugu Bindi, or otherwise here we call it two brass vessels. And in those two brass vessels, we carry water of Godavari, one over the other on the head. It's literally 7 to 8 liters of water in each vessel, one top of the other. So if you're carrying about 14 to 15 liters of water on your head, it's like Bharatanatyam, you don't touch and you walk without even holding the rest of it. And you're not walking just 1 furlong, 2 furlongs, you're walking for 3.5 kilometers. And along the way there are temples. At each temple, you enter the temple, take a glass of the Godavari water and then offer to the Lord, and you come back home. With that water, the food was cooked. But for once again drinking, that water was not really helpful because it would increase the heat in the body, and therefore we had to walk another 1.5 kilometers in the opposite direction, and then there we have what is called Vahu, a small river, and natural filter. You have to dig on the sand on the bank of that river about 1.5 to 2 feet, then you get a pool of water with, once again, tumblers. You draw that water into the two vessels again and carry it on your head, walk back 1.5 kilometers. And then you work in the farm. We used to have 2-3 acres of land. So go there, do the farming, come back. At home we had a cow and a buffalo that would give the milk. And then by evening 4:35, it was a regular feature, attend Bhagavatam class. And the pujari who conducts the Bhagavatam class, he was Telugu comes Sanskrit teacher in the school. So as a service, he used to conduct Bhagavatam in the evening. And at the end of the class, because we are all farmers, take grain and give it to the pujari, the teacher. And he would take all the grains given by the participants and cook that food and give it to brahmacharis. He used to maintain the brahmacharis, he would heal them because he was training them in very concert. And then you sleep by 7:38 in the evening because there is no power. So that's how the life was alive. Every day, day in and day out, this was the activity. No TV, no newspapers, no internet, no other distraction except Godavari, temple, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then whatever little association they would have, because there was no other topic to discuss, they would be able to talk about Hare Krishna. So that was the simple life. Even 35, 40 years back, when I saw as a child. But that has given way to what is called the so-called advanced knowledge, advanced technology. Unless we use this technology as Yukta Vairagya in serving Krishna, there is only a distraction. So now here we find that the leelas are being described, and the leela, it is said that Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says that the leela nourishes and protects us. So he uses the Sanskrit word samvardhanam samposanam lavlyam dadati leela. So leela is described as samvardhanam samposanam lavlyam dadati. So it nourishes and protects the individual hearing Krishna Katha. And this allows us to always, we come back to the basic point, that it always allows us to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So we have already seen that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that this science is first given to the kings so that they live according to those instructions and then equally train their citizens to live accordingly so that everyone remembers Krishna and never forgets Krishna. And in this world we find Sridhar Goswami says that he has described so far the descendancy of the Uttara path. And why did he do Uttara path and why not Priyavrata? Because Priyavrata was the elder brother, whereas Uttara path is the younger brother. And according to Vedic culture, we should first give importance to the elder brother and then to the younger brother. But here we find Sudha Goswami says that the descendants of Swayambhu Manu, Uttanapad, were described first, and now in fifth canto he is going to describe Priyavrata.
Uttanapad, the first son.
Yeah, Uttanapad is a person, and Priyavrata, the both brothers, they are the sons of Swayambhu Manu. So it is said that Priyavrata was right from the beginning detached from the material life. He was not interested in material life. So therefore he did not have descendants. It was therefore Uttanapada had the descendants, and hence that pastime was described first. And in Uttanapada's descendants, who were all the famous personalities who appeared in the descendancy? Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah. We find Venu, Pitu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and then these are all exalted personalities, great personalities. We'll read some of their essential instructions they have given, and that tells us how they have conducted in ruling their kingdoms. When just 30 years back, when I was as a child, I could experience the the Vedic culture, where it just revolved around only Krishna Katha, temple life and the association and nothing else. So we could imagine what was the state of culture thousands and thousands of years back. Very, very simple life, and only the kings had to know the instructions of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. They follow that and they facilitate that to their citizens. That's how simple the life was. And then the Swayambhu Manu is one of the Manus. So that takes us back to how the age is divided. That we say that the life of this universe is the life of that of Lord Brahma. And Brahma lives for 100 years. And he is my younger brother, because he is younger to me in age. I am over 50, but he is just touch 50. But then his age of 50 is quite different from my age of 50. Vedic scripture says that the life of Brahma is divided over the 100 years, is divided in terms of 1000 kalpas, or it is divided in terms of 14 manus. And each manu lives for 71 yuga cycles. We just can't imagine that lifespan. And today, we are in which manu? Sorry?
Vairasvan.
So he is the 6th month or 7th month. So we are talking here, Sudeva Goswami is talking of the 1st month, Swayambhu Manu. And in describing Swayambhu Manu, he is given the descendants of Swayambhu Manu. And we find the basic instructions of Dhruva Maharaj, or how he glorifies when he had darshan of Lord Vishnu. He was meditating, as you all know, a boy of 5 years, intensely meditating on Lord Vishnu. He could see the Lord in his heart, and suddenly his meditation breaks. He was puzzled why that has happened, and then he sees Lord Vishnu face to face. And the prayers, when he sees Lord Vishnu, he was, although a boy of 5 years, he fell flat on the ground and he felt somewhat embarrassed because he was not able to glorify the Lord. So seeing, because Lord is the Paramatma in everyone, he understood what Dhruva wants to do, and therefore he takes his conch shell and touches on the head of Dhruva, and Dhruva Maharaj then starts glorifying the Lord. And the essence of the glorification is that I do not want anything except your lotus feet. That is all I want and nothing else. So if Dhruva Maharaj, that is his prayer to Lord Vishnu, that I do not want anything except your lotus feet. And he becomes a king. He ruled, I think, for about 35,000 years or 36,000 years. It was a long period. When his consciousness is focused only on the Supreme Lord, we can imagine how he would have conducted his subjects. Whatever he would have done, or whatever he has done, is only to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So the whole kingdom must have been extraordinarily happy. And as the entire kingdom was only thinking of Krishna and no one else, because the king is thinking, so when the king thinks, the citizens also think the same way. We follow the leaders. And then we have the great other descendant, Prithi Maharaj. Prithi Maharaj also says the same thing, that your activities are so glorious, and the activities of your associate devotees are so glorious. I do not want anything else except their association. And I just want to engage in the service of your lotus feet. That's what the prayers of Prithu Maharaj. Their pachayas also we find in the same mood. And this is what Sukadeva Goswami has described in the fourth canto. Dhruva Maharaj, then Prithu Maharaj, and Prachetas, and then he is going to describe Priyavrata and his descendants in the next canto. All this is only to see that our consciousness is saturated with Krishna Kata. And the objective is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. It's not only it appears in Bhagavad. Bhagavad describes only the exalted personalities so that they stand as an example to us. We have, I was thinking, how about relating this to our day in our own lifespan? If you have seen any such kings who have ruled this planet, or at least ruled some parts of this planet, who could stand as an example, who people have looked up to. So when I was thinking, then my thoughts went to Padmanabha Swami Temple. Padmanabha Swami Temple, as you all know, became well known because of the sudden discovery of immense wealth there. It is said that Padmanabha Swami Temple is the richest temple on this planet. People do not have the estimated value of that temple. It is so rich. From a conservative estimate to 20 plus billion dollars to upper limit, depending on one's own imagination, they are trying to give out. It is so rich. And the temple was ruled by the descendants of, they are called Sri Parpan, they are called Markanda Varma. He was the king in Kufa, who established that lineage in 1750. He belongs to the Chera dynasty. And the titles were Maharaja of Travancore. So their consciousness, their titles was that he was Sri Padmanabha Dasa. Just as we have the, anytime we take the Diksha, we are given Dasa. So all their names were preceded by Sri Padmanabha Dasa. Men would receive that name, and the ladies would receive Sri Padmanabha Sevinis. So one is the Dasa, the other is Sevinis. And this temple, that is Thiruvanthapuram, is the town. Thiru means Perumal. Anantapuram, Puram is the city. So it's the Thiruvanthapuram is called the city of Lord Padmanabha. And The kingdom was ruled on behalf of Padmanabhaswami. The kings, their consciousness was that this whole land does not belong to us, or the kingdom does not belong to us. It belongs to Lord Padmanabhaswami. And on their behalf, the Lord's behalf, they have ruled the kingdom. Any treasury, any money they had, they would give it to the temple. And from the temple, they would take the expenses for running the kingdom. That was their consciousness. And it's interesting to know that when 1947, India became independent, there were many princely, you can say princely, many princes within the country who wanted to be independent of the United India. Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel, as you all know, that he did make an effort to see that they were all become part of India. So at that time, the then king of Travancore, he was asked to merge with India, and he said, I can do that only when or if I have the permission of Padmanabhaswami. If he gives me permission, then our kingdom will merge with the rest of India. And accordingly, he said that permission was given and he allowed the kingdom to merge with the rest of India. And today, if you go to Kerala, you find everywhere you find the boats. What is the boat you find there? God's own country. In fact, I do not know why everywhere Kerala, various places you go, you find in God's own country. Kerala is a beautiful place. That's how I thought they are describing it as in God's own country. But when I read this past times, then I thought, okay, it's a because they said that the kingdom belongs to the Lord Padmanabhaswami, and hence the land belongs to the Lord, and hence it is God's own place, along his own country. And Lord Padmanabhaswami, if you read the temple, is fairly a big deity. I think about 17 or 18 feet in length, and he is in his yoga nidra. And to have darshan of the Lord, you have to take darshan from three different doors. It's not just one door, three different doors. And Lord in his reclined position is on one side he has Sri Devi, another side he has the Bhu Devi, and then his arm is resting again on Shiva Linga. So he is resting like in that posture. So what we are trying to understand is that it's not in those old days which has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam that the kings were always in the consciousness of the Lord, but even recently, as recently as 100 years or 200 years back, or as recently 30, 40 years back as my childhood, that the whole life was conducted in such a way that everyone remembers Krishna and he never forgets Krishna. That was a simple life we lived through. And that's what is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, that we should conduct our life in such a way that we always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And the easy way of remembering is to read the past sense of the Lord. And when we read the past of the Lord, it is with the pastimes of his dear devotees. In fact, there is a saying in Telugu that you may have a temple of the Lord, or you may have a temple of a devotee, but without the Lord. But you cannot have a temple of the Lord without the devotee. And repeat, that you cannot have, or you will not have a temple of the Lord without a devotee. But you will find temples of a devotee without the Lord. So the devotee is so glorious. There are many temples in the native place where you have only the devotees, like Lord Hanuman, only Lord Hanuman in the temple, nothing else. But when you find a Lord Ramsar temple, you find Lord Hanuman there. So the association of a devotee, the mercy of the devotee is so important for us to remember Krishna always. And hence, Sukadeva Goswami is reciting the pastimes of descendants of Manu, and in the process we understand from them not only the glories or not only the Leela of the Lord, but along the Leela of the Lord, the pastimes of the devotees as well. So summarizing, the goal of human life is always to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And in order to do that, we should perform the pure devotional service. And as pure devotional service is that Anya Bilashita Sunyam, which means that we are in a practical application, we do the Navavidha Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And this should be combined with Sharanagati. Then it becomes a pure devotional service. And to facilitate or to always remember Krishna, we should read the Krishna Katha, the pastimes. And when we are reading the pastimes of the Lord, Leela, then we read the pastimes of the devotees. So while glorifying the Lord, we find the principle that we not only glorify the Lord, in fact we glorify more than the Lord, His devotees. So just as devotees want to glorify the Lord, Lord is equally very keen to glorify His devotees. This we find even in Mahabharata at the end of the Kurukshetra war. Yudhishthira Maharaj was so much in agony. He was so much in lamentation for the sake of kingdom, that he was the instrument in the death of so many millions. He just could not bear that agony. He wanted instruction. Krishna could have given that, but Krishna takes part of us to Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev gives the instruction. So having received the instructions from Bhishma Dev, then the Pandavas become peaceful. So that is the glory of devotees, and therefore we find here Sukadeva Goswami is describing the Manu, how they have originated in the entire universe at the time that he appears, how great he was as a king, as a devotee, and not only he was a devotee, but his descendants also were devotees. Any question or any comment?
No question, Tirupati.
Okay, Grandhara Shandhavatan Ki.
Jai.